Okay. My name is Wayne Barcher, and today is May 18th, 1994. I'm interviewing for the first time Mrs. Francine Hutchinson, and this interview is taking place in room 105 of Ayers Hall at Jacksonville State University in Jacksonville, Alabama. So we're going to today speak on environmental concerns and what Francine has experienced in her life, and she's going to share with us the vast amount of knowledge that she has acquired. Okay. What environmental organizations are you involved in, and what are their goals?
I'm involved mostly with the Alabama Conservancy, and it's a statewide environmental group that's been in existence for about 27 years. They're concerned mostly with educating Alabamians about their environment, raising their consciousness, teaching them to protect and revere their environment more, and quit dumping on it, quit allowing dumping in, educate politicians, schools. It's a multifaceted type organization.
Who started this organization?
Well, it's pretty neat, the story of how it started. Was done by a couple named Bob and Mary Burks. He was a chemistry professor at a couple different universities in the Southeast, and she had at one time been a newspaper reporter, and she got into a lot of nature and wildlife study. And back in, I think it was 66 or 67, they decided they needed to do a formal organization. So they patterned it after the Georgia Conservancy, of course named it the Alabama Conservancy. It started in Birmingham. And their first major accomplishment was the Sipsey Wilderness. And that was sort of their galvanizing, organizing project. And they've been a force in Alabama politics ever since, growing more so since the 80s, I think, till now.
How strong are they? I mean, are they able to influence the legislature?
Well, it's, yeah, actually, in a way it's kind of like the mouse that roared type parallel, if you've read the story of the mouse that roared, which is a little bitty country that ended up making peace for the whole world because it had some kind of weird bomb or something. I mean, we don't do that, but it's a small organization. We fluctuate between 800 and 2,000 or 3,000 members. And we have had a lot of attention from the media, from politicians, because we shake them and rattle them and raise cane and all that kind of stuff.
Is this just Alabama residents that are in the Alabama Conservancy, of course?
Right. It's really focused on Alabama because Alabama is in such need of focus.
What kind of people make up this organization as far as age, sex, race?
Well, the neat thing about the age aspect, anyway, is that we have all ages. We have from college kids and high school chapters all the way to people in their 80s and 90s. Age is a very broad spectrum. Now, education levels, I'm sure we have higher education level in the Conservancy membership than in the public at large. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few university professors. One of our founding fathers is professor at the New College at Alabama, teaches environmental science. He has a degree from Harvard and a degree from the University of Virginia, and he also won the solar car race a couple different times. So we have several professors and lawyers and lots of college students.
What is the top person that you're aiming to reach and convert in with this group?
Bubba's.
Bubba's?
Everybody in Alabama.
When you say Bubba's, define Bubba's for me.
They're almost ephemeral, aren't they? Bubba's are guys who might have completed high school, and not necessarily men, but it can be anybody who's got that southeastern stereotypical personality that doesn't know how to appreciate their environment. They might like to go fishing or hunting, but when they do, they'll dump all their trash out of their truck, or they go out and dump their refrigerator. they have no environmental consciousness, as far as, you know, they think that you can dump a poison in a stream and 5 miles down it's going to be okay because you dilute it because you run it through rocks. And they watch lots and lots of sports and car racing and monster trucks. And, you know, they may on one hand appreciate they like the freedom and the macho bravado of being outdoorsy, yet when it really comes down to it, they don't know how to appreciate it. They'll run over a snake, any snake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain type of consciousness that I think, like I say, gets a lot of stereotypical attention.
So you think it's okay for them to go out and hunt and fish, and as long as they don't pollute the streams with their cans and trash or whatever when they get through?
Well, I think that their love of hunting and fishing is really the avenue to enlighten them further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if they didn't like to do that we wouldn't have a chance mm-hmm. with teaching them. But if you can get them to realizing that they're not going to continue to have an outdoors to enjoy if they don't take care of it, then that will start them thinking about what's going on.
So moderation is the key word in hunting or whatever?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to really keep an eye on a lot of our hunting lands and public lands, that we manage them well and don't allow overhunting. Or, of course, no overfishing. You know, there you want to watch that you don't overstock lakes with fish that aren't native and run amok and replace too many native species. And, of course, we really need to stop damming up our rivers and streams anyway and let some of the native populations come back in number. But I think that hunting and fishing are good, important, wholesome, green-type economies that we need to cultivate.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about other environmental groups like the Sierra Club, Greenpeace, PETA? What do you think about their actions?
I think everybody ought to belong to something, to at least one environmental group, if not three or four, because several of them have different foci. And I admire a lot of what Greenpeace does, even though they get radical sometimes. It wouldn't bother me if my children wanted to go join them and do not super radical things. But sometimes you have to get in front of a whaling boat to make a point. And PETA, I think that they've brought a lot of attention to animal testing, and people are a lot more conscious of that. I don't agree with blowing up clinics and labs and things like that, but a good, healthy protest, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sierra Club, I admire them a lot. They've done a lot of great work as far as bringing lawsuits and helping save a lot of wilderness groups. I like to see environmental groups work together, and they do a lot. Sometimes they get into those silly little ego fights, but I think they need to really work together.
Mm-hmm. What have you yourself given up in order to achieve the goals that you've set for yourself or for the organization that you work for? What has been given up, and what do you hope to accomplish alone for the future?
Gee, I've given up, well, probably about 20, 30 years of my life. Recycling and harassing legislators and doing public education and sitting up doing mail-outs and donating money, and I work mostly with my husband. It's difficult for me to imagine doing anything just by myself because we work real closely together. And I wouldn't want to sit around and whine about it and say, oh, I've given up this or I've given up that, because it's not. I don't look at it that way. I wish I had more to give, you know.
Yeah.
And what I hope to accomplish, basically, is to give my children a chance at having a life.
Such as the one that you've led?
No, better than the one I've got, as far as leaving them a planet that's got some hope of some kind of future. Because if things went just like they're going now, in another 50, 60 years, I just don't see much of a quality of life. In fact, in another 20 years, I don't see very much going on unless we do something.
Would you say that you have a glamorous or a job that a lot of people at least consider glamorous in, being somebody who likes to go out and challenge the system or whatever and holler for, well, this is environmental, and being so pro-environmental? Do you think that people sometimes get a misconception of how actions are taken and undergone?
Well, they probably do. I don't know that I've ever gotten a whole lot of feedback on how glamorous it's supposed to be. I know sometimes, you know, you have your good times where you get to meet interesting people or famous people, and you get to go to some really great places and such as that. But most of what you do as an environmental activist, if you're an effective one, is a lot of grunge work, organizational work, late night mail-outs, phone calls, and trying to juggle having too much to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned meeting famous people. Have you met anyone in your past history of environmentalism that's notable here?
Well, I've met E.O. Wilson, mm-hmm. and I was really impressed with him because he is the head of Harvard's biology department. He's also a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. He's also a native of Alabama, a graduate of the University of Alabama, got his PhD at Harvard, and he's traveled all over the world, and he's a fantastic writer. He can really educate you about the environment, about nature, and you won't know it. You will think you've read the greatest, you know, most fun book you've ever read. But I was really impressed with his humility. And when I sat next to him at dinner at this particular place, I knew I was in the presence of a great mind from talking to him.
That's interesting. You mentioned that you'd given up a lot of your time and stuff to environmental issues and your beliefs or whatever. What would you rather be doing?
What I'd rather be doing...
If you didn't have to do this.
If I didn't have to do this, if I could do anything I wanted to, and, you know, I had the money, do anything I wanted to and not have to worry about the world going to hell, I would go back to my little grass shack in Kalakakua, Hawaii. Literally, I was there. And I'd go surfing every day and eating fruit and hiking and live in paradise and not care.
And just be happy.
Yeah.
And be blissful with nature.
Oh, yeah. I'd travel around the world and check out all the neat spots. Wouldn't worry about it.
Now, you mentioned eating fruit. I have to touch on this. I know that you're a vegetarian. Are you a vegetarian more so for health reasons, or is it a conscious thing? Or what is your true feelings on that?
Well, it's hard to separate my two major reasons for being a vegetarian. Of course, it's for my health, and I know I'm healthier being a vegetarian. The other is I'm eating lower on the food chain, and it's less costly for the planet. It's a lot better for me to eat veggies than to eat meat, because it takes so many more resources to raise livestock and poultry and things like that. It's so much more polluting. So it's really both. I mean, I'm doing my body a favor, I'm doing the environment a favor, but my body lives in the environment, so same.